Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a beautiful thing to have faith in God. You know, I remember when I would be hungry and with so many financial needs, and I would sing with passion that song that all that I have needed, thy hand has provided. In the reality, it wasn't true, but I believed it. Amen? In the actual sense, there were so many things I needed that I wasn't seeing. But I believed that all that I have needed, thy hand has provided. And I sang it by faith. And it became such a beautiful thing. And I marvel at, you know, I marvel at how great God is. You know, it says, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changeth not thy compassions. They fail not. Okay, the compassions, but the changing not. Because you see, when you've dealt with human beings, you know how much human beings change. But the one of the most spectacular things about God is he does not change. As he has been, so shall he ever be. So every lesson you learn about him is a lesson for life. It's not going to change. Now, if you learn something about me, you are going to come tomorrow and I'm totally a different person. But with God, there is no such thing. You know, there is no shadow of turning with thee. As thou hast been, thou shall forever be. Praise the Lord. Now that's a wonderful thing. Isn't it? Last week, there was a man who amused me. A man of God who said that without Museveni, there would be no Arukure church in Uganda. You remember that guy? Remember him? Yes. If you don't remember him, don't bother about him. You didn't miss a lot. Okay, and you probably won't miss anything coming from that direction. Praise the Lord. But you know, I wondered, when I saw that, I saw it in the media, and I said, did he really say that, or was he misquoted? Because I don't believe anybody can say something so stupid. Like, it has never happened since the world existed that somebody said something that stupid. So I said, no, it's probably he was misquoted. What? Now you see, but then turns out he wasn't. Then the first thing that came to mind was Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, when it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, King Uzziah has to first die for some people to see the Lord. That's the honest truth. Now, if you read the history about King Uzziah, mostly in Second Chronicles, especially verse 26, chapter 26 rather, you see how great he was. He was a great king, and his reign lasted for long in Judah. And he was so great and was so mighty, and he had a sort of fear of God. But he says towards the end of his life, he became so proud and he went into the temple and sought to offer sacrifices. And the priest stood up to him and said, it is not your work to do that, O king. And immediately they stood up to him, he got leprosy. And he died with his leprosy. And when he got the leprosy, they threw him out of the temple. Now, that's how powerful. If you read about him, he was a very powerful king. Now, Isaiah the prophet says that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Then he goes on to say, above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, with two covered his face. With the two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Now, verse 5 is what I'm interested in. So I said, Woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. He thought he knew a king, but when that king died, he saw the king. Amen? Now, King Uzziah is going to have to die for some pastors in Uganda to see the king. That's the honest truth. Because how can you put the Church of Jesus Christ for which he died down to some mortal man? You can even cause him to die. Because Jesus said, hey, so now you are the one who they are seeing. That's how people die. Anyway, but King Uzziah will die. Amen? Hey, I'm talking about the King Uzziah in what? In Isaiah. He will do what? Very soon. This King Uzziah in Isaiah will do what? The King of Judah. Praise the Lord. Hey, is about what? No. Okay. No, but I'm serious about this though. You see, let me tell you something. The scripture says in Psalms chapter 11, verse 3, that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed or be removed, what can the righteous do? Now you see, a foundation is something on which each one of us builds whatever it is that you're building. So you have a life that you want for yourself, something that you desire to see in your life. There are things you want to attain as a person, there are places you want to go, there are heights you want to reach, and so many things. But it's all founded on something. There is a foundation on which it is best. And that is the number one premise on which it is best. And I'll tell you this, that foundation, you can tell that there are things which are foundational. You can tell, for instance, somebody's foundation is, let's say they are academic qualifications. And you see somebody, everyone has academic qualifications, I hope. But for some people, they are just academic qualifications. They are not foundation. Now, for others, you can see it is the one thing that he thinks is going to stand out for him when he needs it. At any time he needs it, he says, you know, I have my master's in this. And it is foundational. Now, there are so many people who have master's. But some others, you can see it is something big. And it is of a foundational nature. Now, others, and I've seen this as well, can have a foundation of a wonderful network of people. And they build it on that. Those people who have, you know, you need anything, you talk to him. You need somebody in police, he knows somebody there. You need somebody in the judiciary, yeah, he knows somebody. You need somebody to repair your car, he also knows somebody. He has a network of people, and that's also important for everybody. And but you see, it becomes for him a foundation. Now, what makes you know it's a foundation? First of all, the amount of time you spend nurturing it. Because now somebody who is like that is going to be attending weddings, funerals, and what every time, because all his people, he has to be in their good books, you see, so that he can return, they can return a favor anytime he needs it. So, but you see now, it's something you may have, which is good, and you can have, but it's something also you can make a foundation. And I've heard people saying that your network determines your net worth. Rubbish. What? Rubbish. The word of God determines my network. Net worth. You see, but you see now, you see, so you take time building a what? Of course, it's good flowing English, especially for semi-literate people who get impressed by things like that. But for those people, it's something, the network is something so important now, and can even go as important as being foundation. Now, how do you know something is a foundation? How do you know that something has been made a foundation, somebody's foundation? You know that by the way they behave when that thing has been taken away, or when there is a threat for it being taken away. That's when you know that it is foundational. So you can see that when everything else goes, the person holds on to something. There's a gentleman I know who went and crossed somebody who is very important, somebody of a very important person, and he crossed her in a way that is not good. So she went and did something which is amazing. By just a phone call, all his academic qualifications were erased. So he suddenly had no P7, he had no S4, he had no S6. He had nothing. They even stopped there. Because even your degree is useless. Where did you sit S6? It's fake. But just the phone call, and they go into the records and remove your name from all those things. The guy almost ran mad. Because just like that, you've been made an illiterate. But all the knowledge that you got is still in your head. But officially, you're what? Even had a master's from abroad, but it doesn't matter because you have to have had the first degree, which you don't have. So even the master's is what? Is fake. Now, if that was your foundation, you are in serious trouble. You are in very, very serious trouble. Now, but then, of course, there was this gentleman, this pastor in South Korea called Paul Yong-Icho. Now, Paul Yong-Icho was known for being the man with the largest church in the world. At some stage in the early 90s, he had a membership of 1 million people. And it was such a marvel. He's a man actually who brought revival throughout South Korea. Now, he writes in his book that there was this gentleman who came to his church from a Buddhist background and came and was converted to Christianity and used the biblical principles to become wealthy. And he built himself a wonderful business dealing in salt. He had a salt business. And this man had stores at the seashore. Huge stores of salt, which he was, selling. But on this one day, there was a high tide. And the water rose and covered the stores and stayed there for a while. And by the time the waters receded, all his salt had vanished. And the man had been reduced to nothing. So the pastor heard about it because he was a known person in the church. So he went looking for the gentleman. And he went to the seashores where the stores were. Now the tide had receded. So he arrives there. And from a distance, he can hear the man, shouting. And then he says, "What is this man shouting?" In his mind, he's thinking maybe he has, lost his head. Then he comes closer here as the man is praising God. He's actually praising God. So he says, "This is interesting." So now he enters and finds the man there very busy praising God and excited and happy. And then the pastor is worried. And then this looks like mental health. So he tells him, "Brother, you okay?" He says, "Hey, pastor, welcome. You know what happened?" He says, "Yeah, I heard what happened. But I'm perplexed. You seem to be happy and you seem to be praising God. Yet all your merchandise has been washed into the sea." Then the man told him something. He told him, "No, it's just the salt which has gone. But the principles which you taught me, which created that business, are still with me. So I'm going to build it back." And he was genuinely happy. And within a short time, he built the business back. Because his foundation was something different. So now the pastor actually thought, "Is this man okay?" Then it turns out the man was actually okay. And says, no, it's salt. Salt has gone. But the principles are still here with me. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus said in Luke chapter 7. Now, that man, that showed that the word of God was his foundation. You see, now it's shaken, but he's unmoved. Because there is a foundation there that cannot be moved. Now, Jesus said, verse 47. Start from verse 47. This is what he says. "Therefore, I say to you, Luke 6:47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he is like." Listen, he comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. Those are three things which this man did. Number one, he came to Christ. Number two, he heard his sayings. Number three, he did them. Now, so many people come to Christ, they do not hear the sayings. Some hear them, they do not do them. Now, Jesus said, Whoever comes to me, hears my sayings and does them. I will show you whom he is like. Go ahead. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Somebody say dug deep. And laid the foundation on the rock. Now the rock is symbolic of a revelation. Who laid his foundation on a revelation. But remember, to get to that, you have to dig deep. It is not there. It is not surface. For you to get your foundation at that level, there is a bit of digging you have to do within yourself to get to that place. Now, that gentleman in South Korea, obviously he had dug himself deep to a place where he was so sure that these principles have worked for me from A to here. So even if you take the salt, I'm going to come back. And he came right back. Now, there, you get there by digging deep. Because the rock on which you found, you put your foundation, is deeper. It's not surface. Education is surface. Networks are surface. All these other things are surface. Okay? But that revelation is deep. And says, and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, somebody say when the flood arose. Say it again, when the flood arose. It does not say if the flood arises. It says when it arose. Because it is definitely going to arise. Everything that you are believing for and trying to place on the foundation is going to be tested. Everything is going to be tested. So the flood will always arise. Without any doubt. So he says, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I know I have seen people who have had foundations, and I've watched them, seen some of them were even close to me. Somebody comes, is close to you, and you watch his life, and he's picking up on certain things. He gets very interested in the prophetic. Then the next thing I know, he's picking up people's birthdays and things in people's lives, and he's getting deep in the prophetic, and he's going like that, and he's excited about it, and he's always pursuing things of that nature, and it's some sort of progress, and you're seeing it. Then somewhere along the way, people approach him and tell him that, if you spy on that gentleman who thinks he's going to be president for us, we are going to give you ABC. And I watched his foundation shift, and I saw him becoming a totally different person. Totally different person. From the person I knew. I'm telling you, I've seen people shift their foundation. The next minute, after they come and approach him, they give him some software which he used to read people's WhatsApp messages. And now he feels he has arrived. He can read people's messages. So now he becomes a sleaze king. He knows who is going out with who is doing what, who is doing what. And I saw a foundation shift right before my eyes. A foundation shift right in front of my eyes. And I said, my God. And he went off and off and off and off and off and off. And I said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Remember, it does not say the wicked, the righteous. Now, it is so easy with just a little. And you see, the enemy tries to come, and you're trying to build, you're trying to dig deep. To put your thing on a certain foundation. And you're in the process of digging deep to get to that place where he says they dug deep and put their, and laid the foundation on the rock. So you're in the process, because that process involves you try this, you try that, that faith. Now that Korean man, obviously that was not his first trial. He had been through trials and trials, so he knows he had now laid his foundation on the word of God. And I'm telling you, you are not going to do anything significant here in the kingdom of God until God has put you in a place where there is everything pointing against you, and the one thing that you are standing on is His word. That's when your foundation, that's when you're digging deep, where everything is pointing in the other direction, but you have a word from God which is pointing in this direction. And you say, you know what, I don't care about everything else. I'm going to stand on the word of God. That's what it takes. That's what it's going to take. That's what it takes to dig deep and put your thing there on the foundation. It's so much easier to come and be swayed away by this. I've seen ladies swayed by, you know, foundation shifts, and you see somebody half-hearted. First of all, they become half-hearted in everything they do, and there's no enthusiasm. At the beginning, when they were digging deep, everything they did here in the kingdom of God had a level of enthusiasm. They were excited about it and what. But now when the foundation begins to shift, they start losing interest and becoming apathetic. And somehow they are drawn away. And I can see it. And I've seen it with so many people who were here once and left. And I saw and I knew this one is just a matter of time before he leaves. I know, and you can tell this one is going. But you just let them be, because life is about choices. Everyone chooses which direction they want to take. So somebody, you know, the next thing they start coming intermittently, once in a month, next thing once in 3 months, then they go. And they were in the process of building, putting their foundation somewhere, but something, maybe a few words came and unsettled them and took them away, and then the foundation was shifted. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous one do? So, I know that this thing is a challenge for everybody to come and lay their foundation on something. Praise the Lord. There is this gentleman I know who was my friend, a good friend of mine. I stayed in his house. He was a minister of the gospel in Imbarara. And I when I would go there for a while, I would stay in his house. Now, this is somebody who used to read Kenneth Hagin books, like for breakfast, lunch, and supper. But the difference between all the other people who used to do them is the man caught the message of faith completely, and he lived it. He read it, he liked it, he internalized it, he lived it. So I would live with him in the house and would wake up in the morning and we are hungry and we have no food, and he says, you know, we are hungry. We look at each other and we are hungry. So he says, let us just believe God for lunch. And he had this, you know, some very ugly posts up there, put there. But was saying in his house from the Gospels, do not fear, only believe. And that was his life. Not just talking, that was his life. Only believe. So anyway, so we'd pray for lunch, and we sit there and we're hungry. Then at some stage, somebody comes and says, Pastor, I brought for you chitoch, and then meat and what, and then you have lunch. And then tomorrow it happens again. And then the next day it happens again. So me, I was just learning that. So you mean, like, actually you can live by faith, completely live by faith. So I stood and I would marvel at him, because he would be fearless, absolutely fearless in everything. He believed, you know, he was doing. So anyhow, he started the church. At that time when we were living with him, he did have a church. Then I left that place and then he started the church and put the church in a place there in a cinema. The only cinema which was in Imbarara at the time. It was a big thing, a big auditorium. I think could sit about 1,000 to 1,500 people. But his church was much, much smaller than that. Fewer people. So he started his church there. The auditorium cost quite an amount of money. I think about 1.5 million a month at the time. I'm talking about mid-1990s. So that was a monumental sum of money. And I was even marveling that he can take on such a project. And I would wonder where he's going to get the money. But that was my problem. For him, he believed. So, they started the church. It wasn't big, but it was there. And he started teaching people faith. So people would come on Sunday and teaches them faith. Now, there's nothing as sweet as seeing somebody teaching people things which he knows and which he practices, not things which people you just talk, and nothing of what you're saying do you do. But when somebody knows what he's talking about, and he knows it from experience, and he lives it, and it is part of his life, and he stands to talk, you can hear the life coming out of him. So he was teaching people faith. Now, tell you what, he was in that. I know for sure there's no way he was going to get 1.5 million, but he stayed in that place for 1.5 years, all the time paying the rent on time. Not once defaulting on the rent. And then in those years, he didn't have the sound equipment. So people would hire sound equipment from different places, the same machines which were in a disco on Saturday would come to church on Sunday and what. So you piece together things and have a service on Sunday. And then after you finish having the service, they go to another disco or something. So he would hire instruments and put them there. And so yeah, this church was going on and everything was good. Then one day he went and hosted a certain man of God who taught about prosperity. And this man was known here in the mid-90s, not just for teaching prosperity, but for actually having a prosperity anointing. Because people actually became rich in his church. Not just talk. Rich. Things which were real. And he had a real prosperity anointing. So he was respected, not just in Uganda, but you know, across. Eventually had all sorts of issues. And by the time he died, things had turned south a bit. But at the time that he hosted him, there was, you know, so, and this is a man who believed in prosperity, so he's hosting a prosperity preacher, so he was excited. The man comes, so the preacher comes, ministers, and afterwards asks, how much do you pay for this place? Then he tells him, if I remember the figures were 1.5 million a month. Then he told him that I'm going to pay 3 months for you. Said, the whole church, yeah, amen. So now the man of God went. So this man called him and said, man of God, you promised. Pay us 3 months. Wait. Eventually the phone calls were not answered. Eventually he had to take a bus and come to Kampala to come and, ask for the 3 month rent. Eventually he was told to his face that, forget it, me, I was just talking. There's not going to be any 3 month rent. Now, by the time that happened, he was 3 months in arrears. The Vayindi, who owned the cinema, had locked him out. And unfortunately, they had locked him out when there were instruments and sound equipment of some people who needed their sound equipment. But the Muyindi had locked it inside the what? Inside the hall. So these guys come for him. And now they are threatening to take him to police. They want their machines. The Muhindi wants his rent. The other man told him off. So the gentleman was under threat, actually, of being taken to prison for that, until some church in Korea came and decided they wanted to start a church in Imbarara, and they decided to buy his church. They told him that they are going to buy his church, and they are going to make him assistant pastor. And they will pay the debts and, pay and rescue the machines and so on. So pushed to the wall, he accepted. So when they accepted and they paid his debts and what, they told him, but you see, you can't just be assistant pastor, you're not trained. So we are going to send you to Korea to first study to be assistant pastor, to go for Bible school. So now the man was pushed to the wall. So he jumped on a plane and went to South Korea to study how to be a pastor. And just like that, I told you that story to show you how easy it is for somebody to lose the foundation. He had been there comfortably by faith for 1.5 years. Not once had he defaulted, until an old prophet came and gave him a promise which he could not fulfill. And that was the end of him. And it was a very, very sad story, because I know the guy, I loved him. Like, I used to learn a lot about living by faith from him. And He was an example, like a real example. And the whole story was just bad, and it ended even worse than that. Because he came from South Korea, now to become assistant pastor. He was organizing his wedding. I think he was in the process of organizing his wedding. Then something happened and he died. So I said, man, if the foundations be shifted. Now that was a great man of God in the making. He had understood there was nothing that fazed him. He would take on any project and believe God, and he would always come. I always waited for the time when he defaults. He never defaulted. The money always came on time. And not only was he paying that, he even had an office somewhere in the town where men of God would come and sit, you know, and he was living a good life by faith. Because I know he was, sometimes food would get by faith, but a very powerful story. But the foundations were shifted by just somebody who comes and promises something big and doesn't do it. Now, if they had not promised him that money, he was great things awaited him. I know it for a fact. Great things awaited him. But the foundation was shifted, and now everything turns south. And every time I remember him, I feel sad. I feel deeply sad about it. But then I also know that so many people whom I have seen had taken time to build a foundation on the word of God and had dug deep, as Jesus said, dug deep to build their foundation on the word of God. And then they lose it. And then they put their foundation elsewhere. Praise the Lord. Now you see, you wake up and you have confidence that your life is going to be okay somehow. Okay? Because when it comes to your finances, you have a foundation somewhere on God. It doesn't have to be like spectacular, you see. It just has to be a faith that you have that somehow God is going to watch out for you. And because you've seen it, you've seen yourself get into the wall and God shows up somehow. So he's building something with you, and your foundation is, you're digging deep to that place where now you can be you're unshakable. Then something happens and shakes you a bit like this. And the next thing you know, all the whatever work you had done in trying to place yourself in that foundation has been shifted. And now you also can do nothing. Now you go back to, you know, somebody who at one stage had their foundation, the foundation of their faith rooted in the word of God. The next thing also you're going for those things they say that go for a checkup. Go for a checkup. Go for cancer screening over how many times and what. And all that such rubbish. You're okay. You're perfectly okay. But then they tell you go for cancer screening. What kind of stupidity is that? Why are you looking for things which are not looking for you? You see, you see the people who do that. They, first of all, when you go there, they don't want you to get. They don't want you to walk away. Because I've had instances where people go and they look at the car you drive, they look at what, and they say, "So we are just going to tell this person is okay." And they are seeing money. So don't look for things which are not looking for you. You see, if the foundation of your health is based in the word of God, let it be there. That doesn't mean necessarily that you will not take any pills or whatever. But you're digging. You're digging deep until that time when now you are there. You've reached that foundation down there. And now when the shaking comes, as Jesus said, when the flood arises, you're unshakable. But you don't just get there overnight. That's my point. But also you don't get there overnight, but you can lose it overnight. Very easily. Somebody just has to come and show you there is a better way. You know, we can give you whatever. You can be reading people's WhatsApp messages. And then you become a superstar. And you've given up your birthrights just to read people's CDs. And you look at, and you say, how do you give up so much for so little? Praise the Lord. So now, the foundation is the one thing you stand on when everything else seems to have failed. And you say that, but I know that, you know, this happened. I know that this happened. The foundation, the time that I set my foundation of financial foundation on the word of God is that time which I've told you about when I did the Watchman conference. And I had a bill of in excess of 40 million and I did not have anything close to that money near me. But I knew that God had told me to do it that way. And I always reminded myself of the time God told me to do it that way. And then I kept on telling myself, if I fail, it is because I failed because I was obeying God. And I stood on that word. I stood on that word. And I would be daydreaming. And I'm dreaming that word. I'm dreaming, where am I going to get this money? And so I remember some friend of mine told me that we were seated somewhere jazzing. And I suddenly became absent-minded. And I was thinking about, where am I going to get this money from? And in the middle of a totally different conversation, I said, but the Lord told me. And now you see, I was digging deep. Because now, God told me. And I remembered very well where he told me and how he told me. And I knew he told me. And I was not in doubt that he had told me. So I just stood and believed. I said, now it drained me thoroughly. It drained me thoroughly because everything around me was pointing towards me not having anything close to that amount of money. Every day the devil is telling me they are going to throw you out of, you know, the place where the conference was supposed to be. They are going to do that. Like all sorts of messages coming to you. And you are sleeping. You're even talking in your sleep. But the only one thing you know that God told me. And I said, God told me. Now, eventually it worked out. And it worked out, and God will wait for the last minute. I don't know why he does that. But he's good. Anyway, it's just to stretch your faith properly. But for the last minute, the conference was starting on a Wednesday. By Tuesday, I did not have even a quarter of the money. So I was there. The only thing I was reminding myself is where God told me. God told me. Now, on the very morning of the conference, then people started flooding me with money. Somebody brought me quite an amount of money, and I even wanted to tell him, you man, why didn't you come earlier? Do you know what you've put me through, by the way? The guy said that when the first time he told us to sow towards the Watchman conference, I decided I'm going to sow this. I said, why didn't you come out here? I didn't tell him that, of course. I didn't tell him that. But anyhow, by the evening, when it was supposed to start, we were okay. And we did fine. And I finished afterwards. After the conference, I remember on the last day of the conference, it was 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I sat down. I was exhausted, not physically, but because of all those weeks and of anxiety, and having only the word of God, then it ended. And then we were good. And then somebody came and gave me 1 million shillings and said, he calls me Mwarimu. He says, Mwarimu, congratulations. Here is what? 1 million shillings. So the next day I went to the spa. Just to quay warm. Praise the Lord. But you don't know what I... Let me tell you something. Until you've been through a similar scenario, you don't know what I've been through. But it was the best thing God ever did to me. The best thing. The worst, but the best. Because after that, I knew that if I have the word of God, even if it's going to cost $10 billion, if I am sure God told me, I know God told me. And I can stand on that. If I know God told me, I only have to ask myself, am I sure he told me? And that I'm sure, I am absolutely sure he told me. And he'll even confirm. And he'll put you in that place where you've dug deep. Now that was what is called digging deep and putting your foundation there. Now, from then on, afterwards, everything, I know how to root it, especially things of finance, on the word of God. It doesn't even have to be a rhema word like that time. That time it was a rhema word. But it just has to be a word in the scripture. So it doesn't have to be a rhema word. It's just a word in the scripture, a logos. And I said, this is what the Lord said. And I see it as a promise. You see, the difference between some people is they see the words in the scripture and their words. But you see, you can see it as a promise. And you say, this is the promise. This is the promise of God. And God is faithful. He cannot lie. And this is what he said. And you stand on it. Praise the Lord. When everything is shaken, when even your life is in danger, and you stand on it. Praise the Lord. You know, soon after the elections, these elections, one day I, as usual, I wake up late in the night, about two or three or something like that, and then I pray. And then I usually pray up to almost daybreak, then I go back to sleep. So I went back. Now I went back after praying, I went back to sleep, and I was feeling a certain heaviness around me. So as soon as I lay on the bed like this, I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw myself and two other people being driven in a car and were being taken somewhere. And then we arrived at a certain place. And in that place, I saw three gallows. There was like a metals planted in the ground and like this, you know, in a that sort of shape. And at the end of the metal, they had tied ropes. And under the rope, they had dug shallow graves, three of them. And I was aware of two people who were with me. In the vision, I didn't see them, but I got to know who they are. All of them are political figures. But I was one of them. So I remember I came out of the car, and then when I looked at what was going on, I knew what they were planning. I knew what was going to happen, what we were there for. So I turned to the man who was escorting us. My hands were tied. I turned to him and told him, "Can you do me a favor?" Then the man, he shook his head. And I told him, "Just make sure I'm dead before you bury me." Then the man shook his head and said, "Okay." Then I came out of the vision. Then I realized that an order had been given to kill us. I got to know who the other people were. I even got to know who gave the order to kill us. And it was those things where I was there. It's like, you know, something. You walked in the future and came back. And in the I think it was darkness. You know, there was all this darkness around. So I came out of it. And I remember when I came out, I first asked for a cup of tea. Then afterwards, I just went and sat in, you know, my closet where I pray from. And I said, "The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved." And I started quoting certain scriptures which I know. I'll tell you this, I was not scared at all. Because I know there is no clown who has the right over my life. None, nobody. You see, those words to me are not just words. That is God speaking. You understand? Eh? That is the promise of God. So when I read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, when I read it, 2 Corinthians, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, and in whom we trust, he will still deliver us. So he delivered me from death so many times before. He delivers me now, and even in future, you do what? These are not just words for me. These are promises of God. You cannot shake me. You cannot. You cannot. And by the way, let me tell you, I came close to issuing my own death sentence, and mine would stand, but I decided not to. For me, these are not just words. This is my foundation. The foundation of my safety is the word of God, the promise of God. So when I read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, where he says, starting from verse 17, that I send you to dispossess nations that are greater than you. These are not just words. For you, they can be words. They might be words. But for me, they are foundations. And they are... You know, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Okay? Go ahead. You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well the Lord your God. You shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Now, for them, they had Pharaoh and Egypt. For me, I also have my instances. I have my things in the past which I remember very well. And I know this one I would not have survived if it wasn't for God. Go to verse 19. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Go ahead. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. Now, the hornet is some kind of wasp which creates fear. So God sends a certain fear among your enemies. And you know, people wonder. But see, God has sent a hornet among them. And people say, yeah, but you, why would they be scared of you? Oh, the hornet. I know what I'm talking about. Why would they want to kill me? Verse 21. Now I love this one. You shall not be terrified of them. For the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. How can you scare me when the great and awesome God is with me? Is he with them? He's not. He's with me. Amen? So there is no, I cannot fear. There is no fear, none. The great and awesome God is with me. So we'll dispossess them. And they know it. Let me tell you, they know it. You think they don't, but they do. We'll dispossess them. Because the Lord has chosen us. You see, they think they can bring machinations, somebody to come, what spy on you and what. All rubbish. At the end of it, we'll dispossess them. I'm telling you. Now, if under the threat of death, so when you read Psalms 91, you say you shall not be scared of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by noonday, for he will put you under his feathers. 1,000 may fall at your feet and 10,000 by your right side, but shall not come near you. For me, these are promises of God. God promised. So I live by them. They are not just words. Praise the Lord. But if the foundations be shifted, what can the righteous do? You see, God labors to tell them, do not be terrified of them, because that's the one thing they can have over you. The minute you get into fear, you're finished. That's why he labors to tell them, do not be terrified. Do not be scared of them. Do not be. Remember who is with you. Remember what I did to Pharaoh. Remember who is telling you these things. Do not be terrified. Because once you're terrified, you negate the power of your great God. The great and awesome God. You somehow negate his power. Praise the Lord. So now if your foundation is not on the rock, You have to dig deep. So that when it comes to health, your foundation is on the rock, the revelation of, you know, divine health. If it comes to security, your foundation is on a rock of the promises of God. If it comes to anything, finances, anything, you're founded on the word of God. And you always have to watch out for things that seek to shift your foundation. Because they are so easy. They are very easy. Somebody comes, promises you something. Somebody, you know, does this, that, you know. Some boyfriend comes, you know, takes you, okay, you know, we can do this. We can do this, this and that. And you are building your thing slowly. And then, you know, something just comes and takes you off. And suddenly the foundation is shifted. And the foundation is removed. And the righteous can do nothing. Praise the Lord. Like that gentleman, the man of faith. Something so small, just a promise of 3 month rent, took him off the foundation. Go to verse Psalms 11. Start from verse 1 as I finish. Verse 1. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Now you know, one of the people whom I was with in that vision fled. But also, may I flee? I can't. I can't flee. I'm here. Here in town, because for me I put my trust in what? In the Lord. How it says, how can I say to my soul, flee to the mountain? Because if I did not put my trust, if I did not know that the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, the righteous run into it and they say, I'm telling you, I would have fled. I would not be in the country. Also me. I know some of you are looking at me and are scared for me. Don't be scared for me. I'm okay. I will be fine. I'm telling you. I can promise you I will be fine. I see somebody I'm looking at. He's looking at me like this. Do you know the people you're talking about? Yes. I've encountered them. I know them. But let me tell you, I know more than them. I know God more than them. Amen. If in the Lord I put my trust, how can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? Verse 2. For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. So they set their things. But I see them in a vision. But they set their bow. They bend their bow and make ready their arrow that they may shoot. But then Psalms 91 says, I shall not be afraid of what? Of the arrows that fly by day. Or the pestilence that moves by night. Praise the Lord. But they do it. They will try until they realize their motto. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I said, woe unto me, for I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell with people of unclean lips. For because my eyes have seen the king. Not a king. My eyes have seen who? The king. Praise the Lord. But if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I have finished. Any testimonies of restoration? I'm in a hurry. Anyone? Come. Please. Hurry up. Give her a microphone.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I came to see the Watchman recently. I had suffered a loss, and I think today's message was very much in line with what I suffered. I had been trusting the Lord and learning how to trust Him for all my needs, and then at some point a different opportunity came that took me off. But after falling off, praise the Lord that He has restored me, and I'm just grateful. So I thank the Lord, and I'm grateful to the Watchman as well for his advice. Yeah, thanks.
Amen. Anybody else? If you are not here for the partners' meeting on Monday, please make sure I listen to what I spoke. You can ask for it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Mine was about businesses I used to do. Suddenly they got cut off. It seemed that they disappeared. Someone, we even had a deadline to start off the work. We finished everything and they're supposed to send the money and then we start. Then they just cut off more than now a year. But after the message of restoration is one of the list on my list. Today He has given me a call to resume the work.
I have a testimony. I went to school and I was not wise. I prayed for days and days and days and days. The Lord brought His Holy Spirit, blessed me, poured the holy blood. I was the first in class, second term.
Praise God. I attended the partnership meeting on Monday, and there have been a number of people who are holding my money.
Speak a bit louder.
There are a number of people who are holding my money for a very long time, and I was trying to call many of them. They were not getting back. And one of them on Tuesday, the one who I least expected to respond, did not actually even pick the call, but sent part of the money and just said that, please, I'm going to be depositing whatever I've been getting, and there couldn't be anything but the hand of God, as you said, restoration. Yes, God.
Praise God. Also me, on last week, when Papa talked of restoration, there is an orchestra I play with. After the rehearsal, after I packed my violin, I left my bow, and there are so many people there. So on Monday, after listening to the message, I realized that I had left my bow, but I didn't know where I left it. So I started, when Papa said that even though it's something small and it is restored, just know that restoration has started. So I started saying that I'm not losing my bow, because it's actually, that violin is very expensive. So when a person gets such a bow, they have gotten something like really, really. So I started saying I must get my bow. Papa said restoration. So I go back to school. I ask around. Everyone was like, I have not seen that bow. What? So after another rehearsal of an orchestra, somebody comes and like, actually, I have your bow. This is, and they give me the bow back.
I had paid someone last year some money to do some work for me. He went up country. And I think it was Monday, we were here for the partnership meeting. He called me and then he said, you man, I have your money. Let's meet. I want to do your things and give them back to you.
Amen. Just pray in tongues, everybody. Anna, has your restoration begun? Slowly, slowly. First of all, your restoration to your seat, because I saw you were beginning to sit behind. So first of all, you are restored to your seat. Now other things will come along. I just feel that, is anybody who has ulcers? Who suffers from ulcers? You come and we pray for you. What's your name? Ronald. You take milk. Because I'm seeing somebody else who has a problem with milk. You have ulcers. Come, stand here. It's okay. I'm seeing somebody else who has that lactose intolerance. Is there anybody who has lactose intolerance? Who cannot take milk? Your body reacts to milk. Who is that? You. You don't take milk, eh? So when it says of the land flowing with milk and honey for you, run away.
I will take.
Okay, let us believe God. I want you to, you know, let me first talk to you. Now, how long have you had ulcers? And yourself, how long?
Like 6 months.
Okay. Gloria, and what about you? Lactose intolerant, eh? Okay. Let me first pray for these ulcers people. What's you said your name is called?
Alfred.
And you? Hold my hand. Okay. Now, I'm going to rebuke those ulcers, and they are going to dry up right now in the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus can dry them up right now? Okay. In the name of Jesus, I speak to your ulcers in the body of Alfred and Ronald, and I command you to dry up immediately. Dry up immediately in the name of Jesus. I rebuke your ulcers. I command you to come out of their body in the name of Jesus. And now from this day onwards, they have no ulcers. They have no ulcers in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Now, testify, okay? You testify when, you know, there is a whatever. Ronald, lactose intolerance, eh? Okay. In the name of Jesus. Arriba satara wakrasita roshom. Orokosita roshom mozonto roshom. Arriba satara roshom mozonto roshom. Arremozonto roshom mozonto. Now, your stomach and the stomach of that kid, receive milk properly, and I command that lactose intolerance to get out of them And in the name of Jesus, I decree that their bodies receive milk well, without any negative reaction. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's done. It's done. Okay.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.